With me tonight, if you will, to the 12th chapter of Acts. God gave me, I've preached from this title many different ways. I have no notes of the past that I've had in preaching from this portion of God's Word, but while we were still in Uganda, I was up early every morning getting instructions from God for the day, and one of the things God spoke to my heart on Sunday night, He wanted me to preach on the power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. You know, churches are majoring in almost everything but prayer. And there's all kinds of things, all kinds of emphasis, entertainment, religious entertainment. But I'll tell you, it's time for the church to pray. It's time for the church to pray. Miracle Center there in Kampala, Uganda, they've had a series of all-night prayer meetings from time to time, and they've really seen some outstanding breakthroughs and miracles of God. The Thursday night before I preached on a Sunday morning there, they had 750 couples that united in marriage. There's kind of a thing of the society, if you can't have a big wedding, you just hold off until you save enough to have the big wedding. So 750 people, well, what else can I say? There's a couple, three words I could say, but I won't say those words tonight. But anyway, but 700, that means 1,500 people got married. 750 couples, is that right? Yeah, 750. It was a mass wedding. It was in the auditorium area of the church. Did you know that was in the New Vision, Brother Charlie? I saw that just as I unpacked my suitcase. I had one of those New Vision magazines in it. Yeah. So that even hit the news media. The 750 people, couples, united in marriage. And said, we want to live God's way. We want to do it God's way. Amen. I thought that was, that beats any record I've ever heard. But it was really amazing. I mean, from what I could see, at least those that were closer to the camera, they were dressed nice, you know, as nice as possible. And it was just a glorious Holy Ghost occasion. They got married, and they're going to do things God's way. Praise the Lord. You know, God's not mad at you because you passed. He just said, hey, let's go my way from now on. You know, God's not mad. God's not upset at us. He wants us to go His way. 12th chapter of the book of Acts gives us one of the many prayer meetings. You know, there's a lot of prayer meetings in Acts. A lot of prayer meetings when you really begin to read it. But at that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And that has happened today in the state of Texas. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept. This is one of those golden, all the word of God's true, but this is one of those golden, awesome, I mean, when you quote this verse, there's just nothing else to say right now. The Bible said Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I mean, every word is a grabber. I mean, it just grabs your heart. Peter kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was really worried about that, wasn't he? Bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. He didn't have a knife. He didn't even have a gun. A preacher? Just a preacher. He did have a lethal weapon, though, the name of Jesus. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on your sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out, followed him, and wist not what that it was true, which was done to the angel, but thought he saw a vision. I mean, Peter thought he's having some kind of a supernatural dream here. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And let me read at least this part of verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, Peter said, "Wow." When he was come to himself. The only thing I don't like about the anointing is when I have to come down. God have mercy. Yeah. That's one thing my family's never really fully understood about me. When you've been preaching under an anointing, it's just a whole different world. It really is. You can't settle down. Yep. Have skid marks from here to Austin, you know. When he was come to himself. Now, I don't know what's so different about that, but it seemed like God's... When he was come to himself. Okay. He said, "Now I know." Now I know. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know." Power of a praying church. what Satan meant for harm, God turned it for good. We're going to put the preacher out of business. We're going to stop the preacher. We're going to put Peter on hold, put him in prison. All these guards surrounding him, chains. And Peter's just sleeping. He's so worried about it. I tell you what, if you can stay anointed in jail, you got a good anointing going. Satan stretched forth his hand to vex, but it backfired on him. Satan has put forth his hand to vex so many of you, but it's backfired. He never has been able to stop a blood washed, full of the Holy Ghost, standing on the Word of God, full of faith, individual or church. Never been able to stop it. Can't stop it. Hallelujah. So if you've been vexed, it's time to shout. If Satan has vexed you, it's time to shout. It's time to rejoice. Hallelujah. It's time for the church to rejoice. Time for the church to rejoice. Oh, hallelujah. They even killed a few Christians. They did. They killed them. The Bible said that. Yeah. And we've seen the same thing. Set forth his hand to vex and to kill. To kill. But just because you kill a few Christians, you just start a bigger fire. And I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart. From what little I know, just news like most of you, God's going to take this situation that happened today and God's going to get glory out of it. Now, if there's anyone here that doesn't know, a gunman walked into a church and shot at least 24, it could be 27 people to death, and then fled, and then he was, they chased him down, and he's dead in the process. But what I'm saying is, I don't understand the nature of all of this, but I know one thing is, I didn't stay glued to it, but I listened just to kind of get the basics of what had happened. But I guarantee you, God, by prayer and by faith, God's going to take this thing and absolutely just shove it down Satan's throat. He's pushed it too far. Pushed it too far. Pushed it too far. Amen. And we're going to pray about that here in just a few moments. That's one of the things God wants us to pray and believe. Amen. That whatever has happened, it will turn to the glory of God. Even in the city of Jerusalem, persecution caused them to scatter and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some spread the gospel that would have never spread the gospel except tragedy or something of that nature had come. So he vexed certain of the church. He killed some in verse 2. What it was to stop Peter from ministry. You know, really what Satan was afraid of was the name of Jesus. He was afraid of the name of Jesus. And Peter was kept in prison. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Church, does that ring a bell in your spirit? Prayer was made. Prayer was made. I didn't say they didn't sleep or they didn't eat or they whatever, but I'm saying prayer was made without ceasing. The church prayed. The church prayed. The church prayed. I tell this story from time to time as God brings it, you know, quickens it to me. But Joy had a cousin, I believe she's going to be with the Lord at this point, but Joy had a cousin, and she married a man that was not of her faith, and he was a lieutenant colonel, and I mean, you know, they were worlds apart in their life, but they fell in love, and so they got married. Well, he was a pilot. He was a fighter pilot, and then he was a private pilot too. And they were flying somewhere, and he turned to Roberta and he said, "We have ice on the wings, and if we don't have a miracle, this plane's going down. Whatever you do to de-ice the wings, it's not working. It's not working. Roberta, if you know how to pray, you better pray." Well, he didn't have a clue that she knew how to pray. Now, there's not much room in those little private planes. There's not much room. If you've ever been in one, you understand there's not much room. She hit the deck as much as you could in a private plane. And Vreeland was telling me later on, when he began to understand what had gone on, he said, "I have never heard a human being in my life pray like my wife prayed." He said, "I mean, she prayed a prayer that was shocking, intimate, powerful." And he said, "I looked out and ice began to just fall off the wing. And they landed safely. They landed safely. When they got down on the runway and he landed that plane, he said, "I think we need to have a talk." He had been raised in a denomination where he had never been born again, been around a lot of candles, but he'd never really been around the fire, you understand. And he said, he pulled right on the runway, off the runway. He said, "Talk to me." He said, "We've just experienced a miracle." And she said, "Well, there's some things I've been holding out on you, you know." And she, you know, shared her heart and so on. But I've never forgotten that. And he was asking me about that. He said, "Could you explain that to me?" I said, "Yeah, I'd like to. She's born again, full of the Holy Ghost. She knows how to pray. That woman's known God." And I said, "She's cooled it just because of you." And she was afraid that the marriage wouldn't work and wouldn't stay and so on. Anyway, I explained it as best I knew how at that point. But I'm telling you, I believe it was John R. Rice that said in his book on prayer that there are prayers that break the back of words. There are prayers that break the back of words. You pray until your English doesn't work anymore, until you get another language praying. And after a while, even that praying in the Spirit in tongues isn't quite getting the job done, and so there's groanings and utterances from your spirit. Your spirit man is crying out to God. It's on God's wavelength. It's on God's wavelength. And it's a supernatural thing of God. And the early church, I believe, tapped into the supernatural. They tapped into the supernatural. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him, of the church unto God. What happened? Angels appeared. Angels appeared. Minister friend, I said, friend, we had a brief friendship because he went on to be with the Lord not too long after that period of time, but up in Boise, Idaho, experienced angels on assignment that came and spoke certain things to his heart, and those things came to pass. Angels, he giveth his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Angels appeared. Chains fell off. You don't manipulate chains. Chains fell off. That means that iron disintegrated. And the angel said, it's time to get up and do something. Time to get up and do something. I like what Wayne Meyer said, do something lest you do nothing. It's time to get up. Gird yourself. Put your sandals on. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. And as they begin to walk, the iron, I'm not trying to be fancy with this. I'm a total little literalist in what I'm sharing with you here this evening. The iron gate opened. The Bible said the iron gate. I never noticed that before. It wasn't an iron gate, the iron gate. There's an iron gate to greater Fort Worth. There's an iron gate to the Metroplex. There's an iron gate to our nation. I mean, when you talk about an iron gate, that's the ultimate of gates. An iron, the iron gate. It's time we start speaking the word against the iron gate. Amen. It's time for iron gates to open. And there are iron gates that confront each of us. There are iron gates that confront marriages. There are iron gates that confront children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. There are iron gates, and if somebody doesn't pray through and touch God, that iron gate will not be open. An iron gate means impossible to pass any further. This is it. This is it. I talk about my mother often. She wasn't perfect, though she was far more perfect than anyone I've seen in a long time. I mean, in her walk with God. But there's one thing I know. There's so much in my life that is in place because somebody paid a price in prayer. Somebody, and listen to me, we've got a generation in this church. We've got a generation in Fort Worth. We've got a generation in the Metroplex. If somebody doesn't get the iron gate open, we've lost a generation of young people. Man shall not live by bread alone. We need more than cars. We need more than cell phones. We need more than toys. And we need more than all the media games and toys we play. Somebody's got to pray through and break open the iron gate for the youth of our day and time. Amen. By and large, where are they? Where are they? You can attract them with almost anything else. But I'll tell you, it's time for the church, no matter what the age of the church is, it's time for the church to pray. Peter, in essence, Peter was shut up. They thought they could shut Peter down. And the word of God proves that they didn't until it was God's time for him to go home to be with the Lord. But the iron gate opened. It was the iron gate to the city. There's an iron gate to. I want to reiterate. I'm on ground. I don't have notes for it tonight because it's coming out of my spirit. There are iron gates that confront all of us. There are iron gates that I'm dealing with. As a pastor, and things that I know God is at work and God is doing. But it doesn't fall off the tree like ripe cherries. There are things that if you don't pray through, and I know, I don't mean vain repetition. I'm not into that. I'm a faith man. I'm a faith man from the tip of my head to the soles of my feet. But there are things that we need to spend time in God's presence and break the hellish chains that bind and open the iron doors and see a mighty, mighty, mightier, mightier move of God than we have ever seen before. That's the cry of my heart as pastor of this church. Amen. We accelerate, churches accelerate in everything except the dynamics of the Holy Ghost. So many do. What I'm saying is not a voice of condemnation. Listen, let me tell you, you can't improve on God's best. Your best is dumb. My best is dumb. Our wisdom is not. I mean, our greatness. Last few days, I mean, every day, several times a day, I've said, God, I want you to know one thing. I give you all the glory for things that are happening. I give you all the glory because it belongs to God. Thank God I've been obedient in many ways, and there's times I've missed it, to be sure. But I give God all the glory. Great things He has done. Hallelujah. I give God all the glory. It's time for us that have known the Lord over a period of time. It's time for the iron gates to open. It's time for the iron gates to open for young marrieds. It's time for the iron gates to open for teens, for young people. It's not a message of condemnation. I mean, do you realize that materialism and the craziness of this world has eaten up, has just eaten people alive? I mean, and especially in this area, I mean, sports is king. Sports is God. You know, it takes more than materialism. It takes more than things. It takes more than toys. It takes more. The only thing, most of you in this room have come too far to ever be satisfied. You know why some of you are dissatisfied? Because you're not living in God's best. That's why you're not satisfied. When you've known the best, you just can't make it with the rest. Hallelujah. I tell you, the happiest place you'll ever be is to be in the center of God's will. Hallelujah. Recognizing that Jesus is Lord. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. There's no other life. There's no other life. No other life. And it's only God's power. It's only God's power. You know, you go back to the three Hebrew children. I mean, who rose to the top? What cream rose to the top? Young men that put God first in their life. Who is the sharpest in the kingdom? Young men that put God first in their life. Who had the supercharged chariots? The men that put God first in their life. The same with Joseph. Amen. They learned the hard way that things don't satisfy. And when the world says, don't pray, they said, watch my smoke. Daniel, you can't pray anymore. He said, just kill me now. You'll die if you pray. He said, I'll die if I don't pray. I'll die if I don't pray. I'll tell you, if you need some inspiration, look at those three Hebrew children willing to go into a burning fiery furnace. Because they believed in their God. Hallelujah. And before the whole thing was over, the king was anointed to preach. Remember, the king came and he said, oh! He said to Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest able to deliver thee? He let the cat out of the bag, didn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what happened with the Hebrew children? You know what happened with Joseph? You know what happened with Peter and so many others? God's word became their word and leaped off the page into their spirit. And they began to talk like God talks. They began to think like God thinks. They began to act like God acts. Hallelujah. You think God's afraid of fire? You think God's afraid of those big lions? Ah, no, no, no. You think God's afraid of jail? One instant in the book of Acts, the whole jail shook. Hallelujah. So as I look at this, it's so the iron gate opened of its own accord, to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know. Boy, that's what Job said. Now I know. He didn't say, now I think. Now I know. Now I know. Of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. He didn't say, man, I'm out of jail. I'll tell you what, being associated with this crowd, this company got me in trouble. I'm going to separate myself from this. No, he sought out his own company. And I'll tell you, when you really know the Lord, you know who your company is. You know who your people are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, there's an alarm buzzer inside me by the Holy Ghost. I seek that which is of God. And when I detect that things that are not of God are going on, there's a little buzzer inside of me. I can't explain it. I just know how it works. Praise God. We must be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I said we must be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The city, the iron gate of the city opened. Praise God. Shila bokora kasa. Now, folks, the Bible warned us or told us, foretold us in the last days, perilous times would come. That word perilous is times and people that are hard to deal with. Times and people that are unpredictable. You think you got them located. I mean, nowadays, so many times you think you know somebody, you really don't know them. It's like I've got a secret and I'm playing my own game. But oh, I tell you, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're transparent. Hallelujah. You don't have to live in fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put your head on your pillow and say, now I lay me down to sleep. I know the Lord my soul will keep. I won't die before I wake. God's not through with me yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Got some more work to do. Got some more battles to win. Got some more victories to accomplish. Hallelujah. And what I want us to do tonight, oh, praise God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Church, I don't know what percentage, but I'm going to cast it a high 90% of this crowd tonight. You know the power of God. You know the power of the Holy. You know quite a bit if you don't. Some know more, some know less. But let me tell you something. I believe the majority of people that are here on a night like this, you're here on a mission. That's the new saying, on a mission. Well, they're on a mission. You know, they're on a mission. You're on a mission tonight. A tragedy has struck in the state of Texas. And it's time for us to pray that thing's going to go the right way. As tragic as it is, that God somehow is going to receive glory out of this. I mean, all the liberal minds can think, well, the guns did it. Well, knives do it. Cain and Abel got into it with a 10-pound club. A club will do it. You know, you just you can't kill as many people as quickly. People have been killing people for a long time. But we've got to pray in the name of Jesus that the current events that are happening are going to turn for a spirit of Holy Ghost revival. In us. Don't let it affect you with fear. God doesn't want you to live in fear. Remember, fear will ruin your life. Job discovered that. Fear will ruin your life. We can't live in fear. Well, I'm just afraid to go to church. Don't worry, honey. We got plenty of packers around here. If there'd been somebody there that was packing, that thing wouldn't have gone like it went. I've been hesitant to say that because some people would freak out on that, but we've got packers around here. That means folks that carry. That's okay. That's the day in which we live. But that's not where my faith is. That's not where my security is. That's not where my safety is. My safety is in God. You say, what if I got shot in church? You get promoted. What a way to go. And I say, would like to say, well, you better not go to church because you know what? You know. See, that's the kind of garbage that comes out of Satan's mouth. But praise God, I'm believing that God's going to take tragedy and bring triumph out of it. We're going to see glory to God. We're going to see glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Stand to your feet, if you will. Praise God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.